This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Rebuke on Saudi Arabia. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Friday, December 14. Thanks for being with us. Here's what's up this hour.
The Senate has approved a measure to stop funding the Saudi-led war in Yemen, and another that blames the Saudi crown prince for the murder of a journalist.
Federal prosecutors are reportedly investigating whether there was improper spending by the Trump Inauguration Committee.
Authorities in Indiana say a tipster prevented a school shooting. Police were waiting as a 14-year-old showed up with a gun and engaged them.
And how sexual predators still find ways to coach our athletes.
He stayed at the same gym that he had had before. A few days after he was banned, that gym was transferred to his wife's name on the state business records. And when I went to his gym in August to talk to him, he said, do I coach here? Yeah, I'm the teacher and the owner.
Investigative reporter Rachel Axon at USA Today on how coaches banned for sexual misconduct find a way back. The U.S. Senate has voted to end U.S. military support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen and has voted to blame the Saudi crown prince for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The two votes taken yesterday were largely symbolic because to become law, the resolutions would have to pass the House of Representatives, whose Republican leaders have blocked any such legislation. Seven Republicans joined Senate Democrats to back the measure, including Mike Lee of Utah.
For the first time, we've taken the historic step of pushing back in the way that we are with this measure, and it passed. And it passed with support of not only Democrats, but also Republicans.
It was the first time either chamber of Congress passed a resolution to withdraw U.S. forces from a military engagement under the War Powers Act. That law, passed in 1973, limits the president's ability to commit U.S. forces to potential hostilities without congressional approval. Meanwhile, the two sides in the Yemen conflict agreed to a ceasefire in a port city that's key to the supply of humanitarian aid. Another potential legal headache for President Trump. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that federal prosecutors are investigating whether President Trump's inaugural committee misspent some of the $107 million it raised from donors. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The U.S. Attorney's Office in New York is also looking at whether some of the top donors gave money in exchange for things like access to the incoming Trump administration or policy concessions. Not only could that be illegal, but diverting funds from the organization, which was registered as a nonprofit, could also violate federal law. The investigation was born partly from the material seized in the federal probe of former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Journal says in raids of Mr. Cohen's home, office, and hotel room, the FBI obtained a recorded conversation between Mr. Cohen and Stephanie Winston Wolkoff, a former advisor to Melania Trump, who worked on the inaugural events. In the recording, Ms. Wolkoff expressed concern about how the inaugural committee was spending money. The Journal couldn't determine when the conversation took place or why it was recorded. President Trump has met with former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and considered him a top contender for the job of White House Chief of Staff. Mr. Christie, a brash, tough-talking politician and former U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, was a contender for the Republican presidential nomination in 2016, you'll recall, but dropped out after a poor showing in the New Hampshire primary. He later threw his support to Mr. Trump and became his advisor throughout the campaign. Reuters is reporting that Mr. Trump is being urged also to consider senior aide Jared Kushner for the job. He, of course, is married to Mr. Trump's daughter, Ivanka, but a separate source said Mr. Kushner was not currently interested. Here's White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
He has done a tremendous job on a number of fronts, whether it was on trade or what we've seen play out over the last week on criminal justice reform. He's done a great job on all those efforts.
Yesterday, the president said he was considering as many as five people to fill the vacancy by the departing retired general John Kelly. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. President Trump needs a primetime Oval Office address about immigration, the current crisis on the border, and why the country needs bold action from Congress and the executive branch. Between the migrant caravan and the president's Tuesday debate with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, immigration has become the most critical issue to a plurality of Americans. With just 3 weeks before the new Congress begins, Mr. Trump needs to score whatever legislative victories he can before Democrats take over the House. So says Ryan Gerdusky, contributor to the Washington Examiner. Ryan, how do you see it?
I think that the most important thing that Trump can do right now is actually give a presidential address. You know, a lot of people like his tweets. I'm not the biggest fan of them, but it's not enough. He needs to actually have an Oval Office address the way that President Bush used to have them pretty frequently, and lay out to the American public why certain immigration positions are essential to this upcoming budget. Sit there and talk about how there were people in the caravan with tuberculosis, with HIV/AIDS, with lice, over 100 cases of lice. There are communicable diseases from these migrants coming across the border. These are also not all Central Americans. There are people from Southeast Asia who are traveling to Central America to come up our porous border. Then talk about the fact that there's a magnet, which is our asylum laws. They need reforming, and we need to have E-Verify so that way illegal aliens are not taking the jobs of low-wage American workers. Bring up facts, figures, and stories, and then finish it off with saying, I will be doing executive orders to limit immigration as much as possible, to send the military there to build 10 cities, put pressure on both the Republicans and the Democrats by going after their donors. If Trump sat there and said, we have no use for, we're going to slow down visas for Google, for all the tech industry, yeah, because they're taking jobs from Americans. If you put pressure on those industries who donate to heavily to Democrats and Republicans, the donors will start calling senators, and that's how actual change will come about.
What was the anecdote you gave about Chicago? It was a story in the Chicago Sun-Times or something about this bakery, right?
Yes, there was a bakery. There was a bakery up in Chicago that they used to produce Little Debbie's. They employed 800 people, the majority of which were Latino. There was a black woman who worked there who got tired of it. She was a whistleblower. She reported it to ICE, and hundreds of them were fired from their jobs because they were working illegally. And they were all replaced by, most of them replaced by African Americans living in Chicago, and their wages increased from $10 an hour to $14 an hour. Now, that is the story across the country, where working-class people without college degrees, Trump's base, are being undercut by our massive visa system, which got worse under Paul Ryan's speakership, and through illegal immigration, which is right now soaring. Apprehensions at the border are at five-year highs, I believe, or four-year highs. It's a problem that is getting worse. And Donald Trump, this is why he is president. He is president of the United States today because he was not Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz on immigration. He was going to protect our borders. He's going to protect our jobs. He's going to reduce legal immigration and stop illegal immigration. And if he fails on this, he is not going to win a second term.
We're speaking with Ryan Gerdusky, contributor to the Washington Examiner. He's written an interesting piece entitled, Here's How Trump Can Finally Make Immigration, or Progress on Immigration, and It's Not a Government Shutdown. To your Chicago bakery story, another point would be, I guess, a lot of workers watched raises jump from like $10 an hour to $14 an hour, and that operation did not go out of business because of the spike in labor costs, I presume?
No, it didn't. It's still there. And there's a lot of times where we do need foreign labor for certain jobs. But there are millions of people out of the workforce, and they could be put back in the workforce. There are millions of people who don't have proper training for jobs, who could get proper training for jobs. And the establishment in both the Republican and the Democratic Party is, we need to issue as many visas out as possible because we need to get more workers. We need to get more workers. I mean, that's what Paul Ryan did as Speaker of the House. It continued under Trump. They made it worse under Trump. They're trying to do massive increases in visas as we speak because that's what their donors want to do. If Trump sits there and puts a kibosh or slows the visa process or just stops visas, period, because no one comes in the country until we sit there and get immigration reform, their donors will freak out. They will sit there and call their Congress. They give them the wall. They don't benefit whatsoever from having a porous border. They don't benefit very much from the migrant crisis. They don't benefit a lot. They benefit mostly from our legal immigration system and from visas. He can make them cave if he sits there and uses the full power of his administration.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Gerdusky, contributor to the Washington Examiner. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, the Wall Street Journal reports federal prosecutors are investigating whether President Trump's 2017 inaugural committee misspent some of the record $107 million it raised from donations. People familiar with the matter say the criminal probe by the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office is also looking at whether some of the committee's top donors gave money in exchange for access to or influence on the incoming Trump administration. A Russian woman accused of acting as an agent for the Kremlin to infiltrate political groups has pleaded guilty in a deal with prosecutors. Gun rights activist Maria Butina allegedly tried to infiltrate the National Rifle Association in an effort to influence U.S. policies in favor of Moscow and has agreed to cooperate with investigators. The Senate voted to withdraw U.S. military aid for Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen and to blame the kingdom's crown prince for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
The United States Congress, in this case the Senate, is sick and tired of abdicating its responsibility, its constitutional responsibility, on matters of war.
Republicans joined Democrats in the 56-41 vote to rebuke the longtime U.S. ally. President Trump has vowed to veto the largely symbolic measure. French police have fatally shot the man they believe was behind the terrorist attack at Strasbourg's Christmas market Tuesday night. Three people died following the shooting of the popular attraction, and several more were seriously injured. Sharif Shakat had been on the run since the attack. Police confronted him in a warehouse on the outskirts of Strasbourg. A flood of emailed bomb threats across the country yesterday resulted in sweeps and evacuations from Massachusetts to San Francisco. Sergeant Michael Andrzejczyk with the San Francisco Police Department.
Part of our investigation will be to determine if these bomb threats received and reported in San Francisco are related to those bomb threats received around the country.
New York police say the emailed threats asked for Bitcoin payment. Oklahoma City police responded to a dozen email threats, while dozens of schools, courthouses, and hospitals were targeted in the Philadelphia area. The risk of suffering a heart attack spikes on Christmas Eve, 37% higher than normal. On Christmas itself, the increase in risk dips to 29%. The Swedish study crunched 16 years of almost 300,000 heart attack cases to put Christmas Eve in the same category as earthquakes, hurricanes, stock market crashes, wars, and even high-stakes World Cup soccer matches.
So much stress.
You know, just eat your cookies,
right.
Have your cocoa,
relax.
And chill.
Have some eggnog. Thank you, Rasa. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has stress-free UPS holiday shipping services and all the supplies you need 7 days a week, so gifts arrive on time. See what's in store this holiday at your local Staples. Walk into a hotel lobby, and you may notice something unexpected. People. In the past handful of years, hotels have started to create lobbies and common spaces that are a destination for both guests and locals. It's a story by Talia Minsberg at the New York Times. Talia, what's trending?
For one thing, a lot of hotels have said that the reason they want to open their spaces to locals and people who are traveling and working is an energetic hotel is a more exciting hotel. If you walk into a hotel lobby and you see a lot of people working there, it's a cool place to be. So they say it's great for word of mouth. If you're co-working in a hotel that you've become a fan of, you're more likely to tell a family or friend who's coming to visit that it's a great hotel to stay in. And it also does help at some point to the bottom line. You know, if a lot of people are spending an hour or two here or there, they're probably buying a coffee, maybe buying a sandwich, but it's all about getting really an energetic feeling in hotel lobbies and in hotel common spaces that previously was just not there.
Wow. How are hotels, like, I don't know, marketing themselves or dressing things up to make it a friendly, say, community workspace?
Well, one of the first things that the Ace Hotel in New York City did is put outlets everywhere, which sounds like a really little thing, but if you walk into a coffee shop, you can tell really quickly whether they're places that want you in or out or places that want you to stick around and work. If you can't find an outlet, there's a good chance they don't want you there for more than an hour or two. But at the Ace Hotel, you can find outlets everywhere. There are long tables with lots of different chairs. There's some good light. There are lots of comfy places to sit. Everyone I spoke with said it was a combination of of the right furniture, the right lighting, and everyone's at outlets.
How about that? We're speaking with Talia Mintzberg, senior editor of special projects at the New York Times. She's written a piece about how hotels have started to turn their lobbies and common areas into like WeWork gathering places, attracting both guests and locals. Is this happening at mostly high-end hotels?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think to some extent hotels are kind of acting like hostels in the way in which they want to create common spaces that people want to spend time in. But I would say the brands I spoke with are looking to attract both business travelers and locals who are maybe artists or freelancers. So the hotels that I would point to are the AC Hotels by Marriott. There's a very interesting hotel called Zoku in Amsterdam that is focusing on creating a space for freelancers and artists, not only those who are traveling and those who are staying at the hotel, but those who actually, they created a space for people who co-work to actually live there for a month or months at a time.
Talia Mintzberg at the New York Times, 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Catch America's First News online anytime at ThisMorningWithGordonDeal.com.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday, December 14. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Senate rebukes the president with two votes on Saudi Arabia. Investigators looking at whether the Trump inaugural committee misspent money. A tipster prevents a school shooting in Indiana. Def Leppard, The Cure, Janet Jackson, Stevie Nicks, some of the 2019 class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Chargers beat the Chiefs in Thursday Night Football, and the Gary Sinise Foundation helping hundreds of families of fallen soldiers. That story in about 20 minutes. Men who are monsters are still coaching our kids. USA Today says at least 900 people have been sanctioned by a national governing body or by the National U.S. Center for Safe Sport. Those sanctions often follow criminal cases or an investigation. More than two-thirds are permanently forbidden to participate in the U.S. Olympic movement. Yet no cohesive system warns parents when coaches have been banned. The USOC and its governing bodies rarely follow up to ensure that they're being kept away from young athletes. Investigative story by USA Today. Here's reporter Rachel Axon. Rachel, what have you uncovered?
Yeah, so people may not know, but several of the national governing bodies for each sport have, in some cases for many years, have a list of banned or suspended members. Often those are coaches or other people working with kids who have had some sort of sexual misconduct that either, you know, they were charged criminally or, you know, was reported to the NGB and investigated and found to be credible. There's also a database maintained by the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, which opened in 2017 to investigate exactly these types of cases. And we have been hearing anecdotally, you know, these guys get on this list and then, you know, doesn't stop them. There's all sorts of ways to work around that. And so we spent, you know, a decent amount of time trying to look into, you know, we went through every NGB governing body list and tried to figure out, okay, where is this person now? Do we have any sign that they're coaching? Can we tell what they did to get themselves banned? Those sorts of things. And as we weeded through that, we found, you know, a smaller list of about five dozen that had potential and then just started tracking them down. And, you know, we could have done this for a long, long time, but at some point decided that we had some good things to show and really highlight what the problem is.
My goodness. What's the problem here? Why does it seem like hundreds of these guys like slip through the cracks and just turn up somewhere else?
Well, in a word, enforcement. So all the NGBs really can do is say, you know, you're not part of our club, right? They don't get to put somebody in prison. They don't have any more meaningful action that they can take. But what that means kind of varies depending on who's enforcing it here. So these guys, if they wanted to apply for a membership at their NGB, you know, it seems pretty clear across the board they would not get one. But no one checks to see, You know, are they still in clubs that are part of our organization? Are they being hired by people in our organization? Do we have meaningful consequences in place so that if someone does hire one of these guys, they might be deterred by those potential consequences? So the buck seems to stop with them once these guys get on the list, and then there's virtually no follow-up from there.
Wow. We're speaking with Rachel Axon, investigative reporter at USA Today. She's written an unbelievable piece entitled "Banned from the Olympic Movement for Sexual Misconduct, These Men Are Still Coaching Kids." All right, so you opened the story with a guy named Gerald Murphy. Explain his deal.
So Gerald Murphy is a Taekwondo coach who in 1989 was arrested and later pled to lewd and lascivious conduct upon a child. He was found in bed with a 14-year-old girl who had been his babysitter. He was a elementary school teacher at the time. He lost his teaching certificate. After his plea, he ultimately went to prison when he did not meet the terms of his sentencing. And he continued coaching. USA Taekwondo, the organization of which he was a member, did not know about this until 2014. A former member of their board had the information relayed to her, and she passed it on. And they promptly banned him after finding out about this criminal background that he has. But then they did nothing else. He stayed at the same gym that he had had before. A few days after he was banned, that gym was transferred to his wife's name on the state business records. And when I went to his gym in August to talk to him, he said, you know, do I coach here? Yeah, I'm the teacher and the owner. And that gym, that school, was a member club, or as best we can tell, still is, although it's been removed from their website, of USA Taekwondo. So, you know, in the normal working of things, the owner of that gym would have seen he was banned and not hired him.
Yeah.
If the quote-unquote owner of that gym is his wife, that's a problem.
Man, what do parents say? Who would, like, drop their kids off, you know, to get taught by this guy?
Yeah, they were. I talked to one when I was there, and she had no idea that there even was a banned list or that he was on it or why he was on it. Taekwondo, like many of the other NGBs, doesn't list why. It doesn't say, you know, has a conviction for this. It just is his name and the date he was banned. And she said, you know, that is concerning, and it would have been good for her to know when she was looking for a place to take her kids.
What a story. Good reporting. Investigative reporter Rachel Axon from USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for joining us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it was a big day for unexpected windfall news. First, we take you to South Carolina, where a gas station glitch caused gas prices to drop to just 1 cent per gallon and surely had drivers doing a double take. Employees at the Circle K in West Columbia said a gallon of gas cost only a single penny for about 45 minutes to an hour on Tuesday night. The run on cheap gas was short-lived, unfortunately, as West Columbia police were summoned to the station to stop people from taking advantage of the unintentional discount. The incident was blamed on a computer glitch, and reports indicate stations in Louisiana, New Mexico, California, and Arizona may also have been affected. Circle K did not reveal how many stations were affected, but you can bet many drivers were driving by their local Circle K to see if they were one of the lucky ones.
Wow. Now,
how about that?
In South Carolina.
Yeah.
Generally, what would happen is people would see the 1 cent per gallon gas,
right?
Fill up their tank with whatever, let's say $20,
yes,
and then go in and give the $20.
Okay,
saying this is clearly a mistake. Here's the $20. We don't want you to lose business in New Jersey,
right?
This would be a far different scene. Right? There would be fist fights and
riding. In
I
the
was
streets.
Here first.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's
yeah, yeah.
Totally different
for sure. But I'm wondering who. Well, I guess you said, you know, again, maybe perhaps based on the people who live there, but I maybe because we're in New Jersey, I can't imagine somebody calling the police in a situation
right,
like this.
Right.
Somebody actually did after that's 45 right. minutes or yeah. so call the police and actually had them come down and stop people from doing this. That
right.
just doesn't seem like something that would happen here. But again, perhaps it. Testament to the people of South Carolina.
Right. The incident was blamed on a computer glitch.
Yes.
Yes, which of course had input from a human being.
Most likely.
Who was not thrown under the bus in this case.
Not yet. And Gordon, if filling up your gas tank for less than $2 wasn't enough of a financial miracle for you, you should have been in, yes, you guessed it, northern New Jersey yesterday when an armored car started accidentally scattering money across a highway during morning rush hour. The initial call to police came at about 8:30 a.m. It turned out that the rear door of the truck malfunctioned, leading to the money escaping the vehicle. Police say say several drivers got out of their cars and attempted to grab cash off the road, causing two separate car crashes. At least one person tried to help the Brinks driver, who was seen on video posted to social media, running through traffic, trying to collect the scattering cash. Police said anyone who took cash from the highway should contact their department and that no charges would be filed. And we heard some people actually did, despite their reputation from being from New Jersey, yes, as we discussed. Some people actually did return the cash without even, you know, really being asked or down by police.
It was actually the video I saw, which was filmed by the video I saw was a person's cell phone sitting on a bus, like traveling the opposite way in traffic.
Right.
It's just insane.
Hoping they could jump out.
People trying to, you know, grab this cash, dodging cars, you know, one or two cars banging into each other.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the rush hour, one of the busiest highways in New Jersey, commuting right into New York City.
and in this case, Mike, the rear door of the truck malfunctioned.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with perhaps the driver or anything not properly locking it or closing it. No, the rear door malfunctioned.
So what you're saying is this falls into the category of you had one job.
Right.
Which was to lock the door.
Or like a computer glitch, which somehow put gas for a penny. Yeah.
So we blame our human errors on machines these days. Is that what you're saying?
These dang doors. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. The vast majority of people across the country have some form of debt, but that path to financial freedom can look awfully bleak when you have high interest debt. And if your FICO score isn't great, it can make breaking out of that revolving debt cycle harder than it needs to be. Thankfully, our sponsor, Upstart, is revolutionizing the process of personal lending. Upstart offers personal loans, but they're not like the ones your bank or credit union provides. That's because Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and your job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. 2 minutes is all it takes to go online and find out your Upstart rate. Hurry to upstart.com/Gordon to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/Gordon. Check it out today. upstart.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. You've probably heard that having children and breastfeeding them reduces a woman's lifetime risk of breast cancer. But according to new research, in the years immediately following childbirth, women are actually at a small, heightened risk of the disease. Vox.com says that's the finding of a major new review of 15 studies from three continents on the relationship between breast cancer and childbirth, published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. It's not the first paper to come to this conclusion, but it's certainly the biggest, and one that clarifies a breast cancer risk factor that's not often discussed. Globally, breast cancer is the top cancer diagnosis in women of reproductive age. In America, it's the most common cancer for women after skin cancer, according to the American Cancer Society. 1 in 8 women in the U.S. will develop the disease, and in 2018, approximately 266,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer were diagnosed. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, federal prosecutors in New York are investigating whether President Trump's inaugural committee misused some of the record-breaking $107 million it raised and whether deep-pocketed donors were offered access to the incoming administration in exchange for cash. It's all in a Wall Street Journal report that says the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's criminal probe is based in part on records seized during FBI raids at the office and homes of Trump's former personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen. In the wake of Cohen's sentencing this week, Trump appeared on Fox News to distance himself from Cohen's crimes.
I never directed him to do anything wrong. Whatever he did on his own. He's a lawyer. A lawyer who represents a client is supposed to do the right thing. That's why you pay them a lot of money, et cetera, et cetera.
Trump is working to fill the position of White House Chief of Staff, and Axios is reporting former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is now a top contender. He met with the president last night. Evacuations and sweeps of buildings across the country Thursday as police departments responded to bomb threats emailed to courthouses, schools, newsrooms, and even hospitals. No devices were found.
The types of businesses affected by these bomb threats range from offices, financial institutions, a parking garage, some bio and tech corporations.
Sergeant Michael Andrejczyk with the San Francisco Police Department. Three people rescued from an abandoned mine in West Virginia are recovering while the Raleigh County Sheriff's Office conducts a criminal investigation into their being there. Trespassing charges are possible. The cost of the rescue operation is around $1 million. A dangerous bacterial outbreak in romaine lettuce has been traced to at least one farm in Central California. The Food and Drug Administration says 59 people have now been sickened. A water reservoir in Santa Barbara County tested positive for the bacterial strain, and the owners are cooperating with U.S. officials. Well, it's just about tied up at the top of the AFC West. The Los Angeles Chargers overcame a 14-point fourth-quarter deficit to shock the Kansas City Chiefs 29-28 in Thursday Night Football, clinching a playoff berth.
I watched the first couple of minutes of that game when Kansas City scored first, what I thought was fairly easily, and I thought, this game is over.
And you
good
went night-night, didn't you? Yeah.
That's right. And I woke up this morning to see that the Chargers had actually made the comeback. That'll be an interesting battle to watch. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Actor Gary Sinise helped send more than 600 families to Disney World this month through the Snowball Express, a program focused on the children of fallen military service members. Mr. Sinise said in a post on Twitter that more than 1,000 Gold Star children are traveling with a parent to Disney through the program. The Washington Examiner said this week that the Snowball Express started in 2006, but last year joined the Gary Sinise Foundation, which does community outreach, fundraisers, and other events for first responders and members of the military. Mr. Sinise, known for his roles in Forrest Gump and Apollo 13, has put on several charity events focused on military families over the years. He performs shows with his band for troops stationed overseas, and his foundation provides things like equipment for soldiers injured in combat. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.